Matthias finished his tale and sat back awaiting comment. Basil's long ears flopped up and down like railway signals as he digested his food and his friend's information.
Rats. I knew they'd come eventually, through intelligence on me grapevine, you know. Could feel it in the old ears, too. As for Redwall, I know it well. Excellent type, Abbot Mortimer. Splendid chap. I heard the Joseph Bell tolling out the sanctuary message. Even had some cheeky old hedgehog telling me to run for it. Couldn't go, of course. Dear me, no. That'd never do. Chap deserting his post. Bit of a bad show. What? I prefer my own company, you know. Present company accepted, of course.
Oh, of course.
Matthias agreed. He had taken enormously to the hair. Basil sprang up in a smart military fashion and saluted.
Right. First things first. Must get you across to the church, young fellow, my mouse. I say, that green thingamajig you're wearing. Habit, isn't it? Capital camouflage. You just try lying down anywhere in the shadows. Believe you me, you'd have trouble finding yourself. Top hole cover, absolutely.
Basil stopped and ruminated for a moment. His ears lay flat, stood up, then pointed in opposite directions. He continued.
Now, when you've liberated your bit of tapestry or whatever, make straight back across the common. I'll be waiting, never fear. Good. Well, come on, young bucko. We can't sit about here all day like two fat rabbits at a celery chew. Up and at 'em. Quick's the word and sharp's the action. Nip about a bit, young'un.
Again, Basil vanished, only to reappear some 3 yards out on the common.
Come on, Matthias. Tack to the left and wheel to the right. Bob and weave, duck and wriggle. Look, it's easy.
Matthias hurried to follow, keeping in mind Basil's instructions. Surprisingly, they seemed to work perfectly, and before long, the two friends had covered nearly 3/4 of the common land. Matthias could even count the whiskers on some of the rats. He covered his mouth with a paw to stifle a giggle.
It's really very simple, isn't it, Basil? How am I doing?
The hare bobbed up beside him.
Capital! Bung-ho! Like a duck to water, young fella. Flop me ears if you want, the best pupil I've ever had. By the way, is there anything I can do to help?
Matthias stopped and looked serious.
Yes, there is, Basil. But I feel reluctant to ask you to involve yourself in my fight.
Basil Staghare snorted.
Rubbish! My fight, indeed! Do you fondly imagine that I'd sit there munching at the old nosebag while some ugly great rodent and his band of yahoos run about conquering my countryside? Never let it be said in the mess that Basil Staghare was backward in coming forward. Ask away, Matthias, you young curmudgeon.
The hare puffed out his narrow chest and stood with paw on heart, his eyes closed and ears standing up straight. He awaited orders. The young mouse, hiding a smile at Basil's noble pose, said admiringly,
Oh, Mr. Hare, you do look heroic standing like that. Thank you.
Basil opened one eye to look at himself. Yes, he did look rather gallant. A bit like the monarch of the glen, or the stag at eve. Not that a young mouse would understand anything of that nature. Matthias expressed his wishes to the stag.
Would it be possible for you to create some kind of diversion while I'm getting the tapestry? Could you keep the rats occupied, Basil?
The hare twitched his ears confidently.
Say no more, laddie. You've come to the right stag. Listen carefully. You cut across the flank to their left. They took a piece of planking out of the fence by the lich gate. That's where you'll slide through. When you've got what you came for, then make your exit the same way. I'll be somewhere about keeping an eye on you. Right? Off you go.
Matthias went swiftly, still remembering to bob and weave as Basil had taught him. He made it with ease to the fence, glancing back to check on his companion. Basil went into a speedy run. He cleared the fence top at a bound and tapped the nearest rat on the back.
I say, old thing, where's this leader fella? Clooney or Looney, whatever you call him.
Completely staggered, the rat stood slack-jawed. Basil left him and popped up beside another rat.
Phew! Dear, dear, don't you chaps ever take a bath? Listen here, you dreadful creature. Do you realize that you smell to high heaven? By the way, Did your parents ever call you Pongo, or did they smell as bad as you?
It took the rat sentries a moment or two to recover from their surprise. Then they let out yells of rage and tried to seize the impudent hare. It was like trying to catch smoke with their claws. Basil ran rings round them, keeping up a steady stream of insults, and adding to the rat's bad temper, they shouted angrily.
Grab that big skinny rabbit, lads!
Big skinny rabbit yourself, cat's meat.
I'll stick his damn guts on my pike.
Temper, temper, tut, tut. Such language, if your mother could hear you.
Blast! He's as slippery as a greased pig.
Some of my best friends are greased pigs, bottle nose. Whoops, miss me again, you old butterfingers, you.
Matthias chuckled quietly and shook his head in admiration. He watched 12 rats falling over each other and bumping heads as they chased his friend around the common land. Every now and then, Basil would pause and strike his noble stag attitude, letting the rats get to within a whisker of him. Nimbly, he would kick out with his long, powerful legs and send them all sprawling in a heap. Adding insult to injury, he danced around the fallen sentries, sprinkling them with daisies until they arose, cursing him to continue the chase. Wary that there might be other rats about, Matthias climbed into the church through a broken stained-glass window. He dropped down into the lady chapel. The young mouse wrinkled his nose in disgust. The beautiful old church was rank with the heavy odour of rats. Furniture was overturned, statuary broken, walls stained, the pages of torn hymn books lay about everywhere. Where was the fragment of tapestry? And where was Clooney with the rest of his army? Instant realisation sent a leaden weight thudding into the pit of Matthias's stomach. They had gone to attack Redwall. Clooney must have the tapestry with him. Matthias felt sick at the thought. Hastily, he climbed back out of the window. Halfway across to the fence, he noticed a small shed. Somebody was pounding upon its locked door and calling his name aloud.
Matthias, quickly, over here in the hut.
Through a small gap in the door, he could see the Vole family. Their paws were tightly bound. Colin Vole huddled piteously on some dirty sacking in a corner, while Mr. Abram Vole and his wife battered away at the door with their paws tied together. Matthias called through the crack to them.
Stop banging! Stay quiet! I'll have you out of here as soon as I can break the lock.
Matthias cast about for something that would force the padlock and hasp. Doubtless some rat had the key, but there was no time for that. By a stroke of luck, he found an iron spike that had been thrown at Basil by one of the rats. Forcing the spike in the hoop of the lock, Matthias levered away.
It's not budging!
From the corner, Colin Vole started to weep aloud.
Oh, we'll be locked in here until Clooney gets back. I don't want to face him again. Do something, Matthias. Save me.
Despite the Vole's wretched predicament, Matthias could not help showing his contempt for Colin.
Do stop whining, Colin. It doesn't help matters. And keep your voice down. There may still be rats about. Try to be brave like your mum and dad.
In his frustration, Matthias swung the spike at the lock. It bounced off, lodging deep between the hasp and the woodwork. He grunted in exasperation, pulling it savagely towards himself to loosen it. Taken off balance, he went head over tail. The hasp had broken. It came away, bringing with it some twisted, rusty screws. The door swung open. Drawing his dagger, Matthias hastily cut the bindings from the paws of the voles, issuing orders as he worked.
Follow me, and do as I say. Move as quickly and quietly as you can.
Cautiously, they slid through the broken fence and began making their way across the common. There was no sight of rat sentries. Matthias guessed that they were off somewhere, still trying to catch the elusive hare. It was mid-afternoon. The common was peaceful and sunny. Butterflies perched on thistle flowers, and grasshoppers serenaded each other with their ceaseless cadences. Abram Vole insisted on shaking Matthias by the paw and congratulating him.
Matthias, thank you with all my heart for saving my family. We thought we were doomed.
The young rescuer looked grim.
We're not back home yet by any means, Mr. Vole. And even if we do make it back to the Abbey, I dread to think what we may find.
Mrs. Vole nodded vigorously.
Aye, we saw them leave the church to march on Redwall. Clooney was leading the villains with Martin's picture tied to his banner. My, oh my, you never did see so many wild rascals in all your born days.
Matthias's brow creased in a worried frown.
I wish I hadn't sneaked off from the Abbey this morning. I do hope Constance has all the defenders on the alert.
It was only seconds later that Matthias wished he had also been on the alert. The sensory rats had become tired of chasing Basil. Wearily, they made their way out of the woods and back to the common land. They sat on the grass behind a low hummock, taking a break together. Matthias and the Vole family walked straight into the middle of them. Chapter 18. Clooney massed his forces in the roadside ditch opposite Redwall Abbey. He stood well back in the meadow behind the ditch, surrounded by his captains. Here, where he was out of range, he could direct the entire operation. But at the moment, he was not having things all his own way. For a start, he did not have many archers. Rats are notoriously bad at bow-making and the fletching of arrows. From the ramparts of Redwall, the field and harvest mice sent down volley after volley of tiny arrows, which, while they had no great killing power, were causing much wounding and discomfort in the ranks of Clooney's horde. Standing beneath his banner, which was rammed into the earth, Clooney cracked his tail.
Redtooth, Darklaw, tell the slingthrows to stand ready. When I give the signal, I want to see a good heavy barrage of stones hitting the top of the parapet. That'll make them keep their heads down. Frogblood, Scumnose, you two will organize the gangs with the scaling ladders and grappling hooks. See, they all get up on top of that wall. And no blunders.
The rat captains marched off to the ditch to make ready. Clooney held his tail up to give the signal. On top of the wall, the mouse archers kept up their relentless hail of arrows into the ditch. Constance strode up and down, holding a heavy cudgel in her paws as she urged them on.
That's the stuff to give a mice. Keep those bows swinging.
Knowing the supply of arrows was not endless, the badger looked to the heaps of rubble and stone along the parapet edges.
Brother Rufus, foremost, be ready to shift that lot overboard at a moment's notice.
Smack, clank, bang, thud. A hail of sharp stones and pebbles whizzed upwards, rattling against the masonry as Clooney waved his tail in the meadow below. Taken unawares, several mice were felled and a mole lay stunned.
Get your heads down, everyone. Lie flat,
Constance shouted. The defenders instantly obeyed as the showers of missiles increased. Running along the ramparts bent double, the abbot cried out.
Stretcher bearers, over here! Help me to get the casualties down into the cloisters!
Winifred the otter lay alongside Constance and whispered to her.
Hear that scraping? Clooney's lot are putting something up against the walls. It's my guess they'll be trying to climb up while we've got to lie low.
Even as Winifred spoke, two grappling hooks with climbing ropes attached came clanging over the parapet and lodged in the joints.
Stay low, my friends. Give them a bit of time to get off the ground. I want plenty of rats to be high up before we make a move. Pass the word along.
Below in the meadow, Redtooth waved his cutlass and laughed wildly.
Your plan is working out, Chief. Look, there's old Fangburn and his gang nearly at the top of the wall.
Clooney lifted his visor to get a better view. It was too late to call out against what he saw happen next. A veritable avalanche of earth and rocks cascaded over the parapet. It smashed straight onto the main ladder. Rats screamed aloud and grasped at mid-air as they were swept from the ladder to the road below. The ladder fell sideways, cannoning into another one that had been set up beside it. As both ladders fell, there were scenes of mass chaos. Badly wounded and shocked, the survivors on the roadway tried to crawl back to the safety of the ditch, only to be buried beneath rubble which thundered down on them. Many lay trapped beneath the heavy ladders that had fallen. The air resounded with screams and moans. Clooney ranted and swore. Leaving his standard, he rushed across the meadow. Taking the ditch in a single leap, he darted across the road. Grasping a hanging rope, he began hauling himself up, claw over claw. As the solitary beaver gnawed through the last strands, the rope parted. Clooney fell from a fair height and sprawled on the dusty road in an undignified heap. Clooney flung himself into the ditch, regrouping the sling throwers and a few archers. He ordered them to await his command. At the top of the walls, the last climbing rope had been severed. A hearty cheer rent the air as the Redwall defenders broke cover to survey their handiwork.
Fire!
Clooney roared. Stones and arrows sped upward with devastating effect. Several mice and woodlanders cried out and fell. The results heartened Clooney. All was not lost. He began devising a new plan. In Mossflower Wood, Ragear was struggling with the rope that bound him to the oak tree. He could hear far-off sounds, which meant only one thing. His chief was attacking the abbey. Straining his neck downwards at an uncomfortable angle, Raggy was able to get his teeth into the tough climbing rope. If he could manage to free himself, he might be able to sneak back and join the horde. He could mingle with them and deny that he had ever been missing. Clooney might also take a lenient view of his desertion if he could distinguish himself during the battle. The rope tasted foul. Raggy could tell by its scent that it had once belonged to Shadow. He'd never liked that surly, poker-faced rodent. Raggy congratulated himself as his teeth bit through another strand.
Ha! Take that rope! And that! No rope can keep Raggy a prisoner for long. Hee-hee-hee! Poor old Shadow! If only you could see your lovely rope now!
Raggy straightened up for a moment to ease his neck. The laughter died on his lips. A horrified gurgle bubbled from his throat. Icy claws of terror gripped his chest. Swaying hypnotically, a foot from his face, was the biggest, strongest, most evil-looking adder that had ever been born. The rat was completely petrified. The breath seemed to freeze in his lungs. The sinister blunt head moved in a lazy rhythm, its forked tongue flickering endlessly in and out, the round bead-like jet eyes never leaving his for an instant. Its voice was like dry leaves rustling in an autumn breeze.
Asmodeus. Asmodeus. So kind of you to untie yourself, rat. Come with me. I will show you eternity. Asmodeus. Asmodeus.
It struck with lightning speed. All that Raggy felt was a sudden sharp sting to the side of his neck. His limbs became flaccid, his eyesight shrouded by a dark mist. The last words Raggy ever heard on this earth were uttered in the adder's sibilant hiss.
Asmodeus. Asmodeus.
Clooney scratched the floor of the ditch with his claw. It was all there. The design for his next move. He would attack the abbey secretly from the Mossflower side. It would be a surprise manoeuvre. A hand-picked squad led by him would carry out the mission. Dressed in Clooney's war helmet and armour, Red Tooth would stay back in the meadow. His disguise would be sufficient to fool the defenders from the distance of the high walls. The rats in the ditch were ordered to continue pressing home the attack until Clooney and his party scaled the walls from behind and fought their way across the grounds to open the abbey gates. After issuing orders to his remaining captains, Clooney, accompanied by a score of assorted rats, weasels, stoats and ferrets, crept off along the course of the ditch. They carried with them the long plank from St. Ninian's lichgate fence. Silently they travelled in a northerly direction until they were out of sight of the walls. Climbing out of the ditch, they crossed the road into Mossflower Wood. Clooney sat on a fallen tree trunk and told his squad what was required of them.
I'll wait here with the plank carriers. The rest of you split up and search the area for any big high trees growing near the abbey walls. Make sure that the tree you pick is higher than the wall itself and not too difficult to climb. Got that? Right, get going.
Clooney watched him strike off into the undergrowth. His previous good mood had deserted him. He was working himself into a foul temper over the day's performance by his mighty conquering horde. Shown up by the simple tactics of woodland creatures and mice, he snorted and dug his powerful claws into the rotten tree trunk, sending beetles and woodlice scurrying as he tore out a chunk of the spongy timber. Oh, he'd had them frightened at first. As a commander, he knew the power of fright, but once they had gained the upper hand in the initial skirmish, the mice lost their fear and became bolder. That was when the battle had started to go against him. Granted, he had scored one or two small victories, but they were nothing to brag about. He couldn't use them as an example to put fresh heart in his troops. Clooney's only hope was that the mice would become overconfident and eventually make a mistake. It was the old waiting game. Just let them make one slip. That was all he needed. Meanwhile, he had a greater obstacle to overcome than mice. The walls. It was those same accursed walls that were ruining all his plans. Clooney tore viciously at the rotting log until great chunks of it flew through the air. If this scheme worked, he wouldn't have to worry about walls anymore. He'd be inside those walls like a fox among day-old chickens. Clooney sniffed the air. His senses told him the searches were detaining. Cheeseteeth and a ferret named Kilcony came crashing out of the underbrush. They were trembling and twitching. Both looked as if they had been badly scared. It was some time before Clooney could get any sense out of them. Cheeseteeth spoke haltingly, glancing back fearfully over his shoulder.
We got a bit lost, Chief.
Lost? Where?
Kilcony pointed a shaky claw.
Over that way, Your Honour. And didn't we find a great strapping oak?
Or is it too close to the wall?
No, Chief. It was further out into the woods. Look what I found wrapped around the trunk.
He held out the chewed and broken climbing rope. Clooney snatched it.
This looks like Shadow's climbing rope. He's dead. What are you fools trying to tell me?
Kilcony whimpered pitifully.
It's Raggy, Your Honour.
Clooney seized the unlucky pair and shook them soundly.
And have you both gone raving mad? Do you mean to tell me you are frightened of that fool Raggia?
Cheeseteeth fell to his knees, sobbing.
But you didn't see him, Chief. He was just lying there. His face was all swollen and his tongue was sticking out. It had gone purple. It was all sort of bloated-like. It was horrible.
Kilcony bobbed his head vigorously in agreement.
Aye, so twas. Didn't we see him with our very own eyes, sir? Poor old Raggier, and him going backwards all the time.
Going backwards?
Indeed he was. And your man here says he, there's something pulling Raggier along. Sure, we couldn't see what it was for all the bushes, so we pulled him to one side between us. And what did we see?
Well, what did you see?
Kilcony stopped and shuddered. He spoke incredulously, as if he were unable to believe himself.
We saw the biggest snake you ever clapped eyes on, the father of all serpents. He had poor Raggier's body by the feet and was dragging it along backwards.
What did the serpent do when it saw you?
It let go of Raggier and looked at us. The serpent stared at us. He kept on saying, Asmodeus, Asmodeus.
Clooney scratched his head with a sharp, dirty claw.
Asmodeus? What's that supposed to mean?
Do you not know? 'Tis the dreaded name of the devil himself, sir. I know because my old mother told me so, and she always said to never look a serpent in the eye. So I said to me mate here, Cheese thief, says I, don't look, run for your life. And that's exactly what we did, sir. Oh, you'll never know how horrible it was. I'd rather be tied in a blazing barn than go back there, so I would. The great scaly body of the...
Quiet, fool! I think I hear the others coming back. Now straighten yourselves up, and not a word to anyone about this serpent thing, or you'll feel my serpent across your backs!
Clooney's long tail waved menacingly under their noses. They took his point. A weasel called Scrag came running up. He reported smartly with great efficiency.
High tree near the abbey wall, Chief. Elm, I think, much higher than the wall. Lots of branches jutting out. Just the job for climbing.
How far is to this tree?
About 10 minutes' march to the east.
When the rest of the party arrived back, Clooney had them form up in a single file. They marched eastwards at a smart pace. The high tree did prove to be an elm, an ancient giant covered in gnarled bumps and handy branches. Clooney sized it up, exactly what he wanted, the perfect distance from the wall. He turned to his commando squad.
Listen, we're going to climb this tree. When we get up high enough, I'll find a strong branch that we can bridge to the wall with the plank. If we go carefully, the mice won't suspect a thing. Before they can gather their wits about them, we'll be inside the red wall.
Chapter 19. It was difficult to tell who was the more surprised, Matthias and his party or the rat sentries. There was a second's pause, then they scattered. One or two of the rats were a bit slow off the mark, but not as slow as Colin Vole and his mother, who were roughly grabbed by the faster sentries. Matthias dodged, wriggled, and ran free, tripping a rat who was about to seize Mr. Vole. The young mouse ran, pushing the vole in front of him and calling out,
"Run! Keep going, Mr. Vole! Try to make it to the woods and hide!"
The vole faltered.
"But my wife! Colin, the rats have got them!"
Matthias pushed him roughly forward.
"They'll get you too if you don't hurry. Move yourself, Vole. You'll be no good to your family as a prisoner again."
Taking Matthias's advice, Abram Vole ran as fast as his legs would carry him. Matthias turned and picked up a heavy branch. He faced the oncoming rats.
"Only a dozen of you? Let's see what you rats are made of. First come, first served."
Matthias swung the branch. It whooshed through the air, causing the rats to stop in their tracks. As he advanced on them, flailing the branch, he shouted at the top of his voice,
"Basil! Basil Staghare, where are you?"
The rats tried to circle Matthias. One got too near. A hefty blow from the improvised staff sent him crashing to the ground.
"Oh, well hit, sir. Jolly well hit."
It was the hare. He came bounding up for all the world as if he were on a Sunday school picnic, grinning from ear to ear. Colin and Mrs. Vole came panting in his wake. Matthias gasped relief.
"Basil, where in heaven's name did you get to?"
The skilful creature dodged a rat, spun round and landed a fierce double-footed kick to its stomach. The rat bowled over, completely winded, all the fight knocked out of its body. Basil chuckled.
"Oh, sorry about that, Matthias, my old lad. When these chaps gave up chasing me, I scooted back to my den. Spring cleaning, you know. A bit late, but I'm only a bachelor in single quarters, what?"
Matthias was flabbergasted. Here he was, fighting off a dozen rats, trying to rescue the Vole family, while Basil was dusting out his den. The young mouse could scarcely hold his temper.
"Oh, how nice of you, Mr. Hare. So glad you could join us,"
he said sarcastically, as they beat off rats and hurried the Voles along.
"I don't suppose you put the kettle on for tea?"
Basil bowed to Mrs. Vole and offered her his paw.
"Allow me, ma'am. Why, yes, as a matter of fact, I did. Nothing like a fresh pot of mint tea after some good healthy exercise, what?"
Matthias struck a rat square in the face with the butt of his branch. The hare was obviously insane. Mint tea, indeed.
"Well, I don't suppose you think I'm going to sit in your den drinking tea all afternoon."
Basil had a hammerlock on a rat. He swung him and knocked two more flat on the ground. He winked at Matthias.
"I certainly hope not, old bean. You see, it'd be perishing awkward, as I've only got a 4-piece tea set. And if I'm not mistaken, the small gent who took off for the woods like a scalded duck is obviously the husband of this delightful Lady Vole. So I'll have to invite him too, won't I?"
Matthias tripped a rat with the branch. He was learning to take Basil in his stride.
"Why, of course you will, Mr. Hare. What a bore you must think me. I'll probably sit around on the common here and teach the rats to make daisy chains."
Basil dodged around a rat and laughed approvingly.
"Oh, no need to get uppity, young fella. I thought I'd best shelter the Voles and see 'em safe to the abbey later. Obviously you need to get back to Redwall post-haste. A family of Voles would only slow you up."
"I apologise, sir. Accept your offer of help gratefully. I didn't mean to be rude."
By now, they were at the edge of the common land. The rats had fallen back momentarily. Basil shook paws with Matthias.
"Good mouse. Right, cut along, young'un. I'll see you when I deliver my charges back to the abbey."
Alone and unencumbered, Matthias struck off into the woods, travelling doggedly on wearied legs. He realised that his entry to Redwall would have to be from the Mossflower side, as the main gate would probably be under attack. Could the defenders hold out? Was Constance organising the retaliation correctly without him? Had the sentry stayed alert? Was Cornflower safe? Questions raced through Matthias's brain as he fought his way through the undergrowth. Taking a check on his bearings, he began to worry a little. The abbey walls should be in sight over towards the northwest. Perhaps he hadn't fully realised the sprawling size of the woodlands. Yes, that was it. Maybe if he kept on trekking, the walls would soon come into view. From somewhere ahead, Matthias could hear the trickle and gurgle of a stream. He remembered that it had been some time since he had eaten and drunk. Changing direction, he followed the water sounds until he came to the banks of the stream. Lying face down on a low outcrop of red sandstone, Matthias drank his fill of the cool, sweet stream water. Further down the bank, he found some young dandelions. Gathering a bunch of tender leaves and buds, he made his way back to the sun-warmed sandstone and stretched out on his back, nibbling dandelions and gazing up at the cloudless blue June sky through the treetops. What an action-packed day it had been! Matthias was glad of the brief respite after all the excitement, but he told himself that he could not afford to stay long. He must press on to Redwall. He heaved a great sigh. The life of a warrior was very tiring. Closing his eyes momentarily, he thought of Martin the Warrior. Did he ever feel tired? He must have, defending the abbey with his large heavy sword, wearing all that armour. Whatever happened to the sword? It had to be somewhere. Legendary weapons didn't rust and wear away to nothing, otherwise they'd never get to be legends. A dragonfly hovered directly above the young mouse, gently stirring his whiskers. What was this strange creature doing in his territory? He glided a little closer. It was quite safe. The oddly garbed animal posed no threat to his authority as bailiff of this stretch of water. He was fast asleep, snoring like a squirrel in midwinter, oblivious to all about him. Chapter 20. It was late afternoon. There had been one or two minor setbacks, but Clooney and his squad had finally made it up into the elm tree. Some of the rats were really hopeless climbers in Clooney's estimation. There had been quite a bit of jostling and slipping, and as for that idiot cheese thief, imagine waiting until you were 6 yards above ground to find out that you were afraid and had no head for heights. Clooney thought angrily that if there hadn't been such an urgent need for silence, he'd have given him what for. The warlord began to wish that he had brought along more ferrets and weasels. They possessed good natural climbing ability, and that weasel, what was his name? Scrag. He'd been an enormous help, boosting and encouraging the others, even organising the lifting up of the plank. Clooney made a mental note for future reference. Officer material, that one. Despite all efforts, however, they were still below the edge of the parapet. Higher up, the elm branches became thin and whippy, not strong enough to support the plank's weight. Clooney took stock of the situation. This was really as far as he could go while still retaining some kind of safety factor on their hazardous assignment. He decided to call a halt.
Right, take a breather. Find somewhere that you won't fall from. In an hour or two it'll be evening, there'll be lots of shadow and less daylight. The mice will have slowed up a bit by then. We'll catch them off guard. Scrag, see this lot keep still and quiet, will you?
Scrag saluted smartly and offered a helpful comment.
This branch I'm sitting on, Chief, I've just been testing it and it feels good and strong. Maybe we should mount the plank from here to the wall. It'll reach easily enough. I know it's a bit of an uphill climb, but it shouldn't be too difficult. I don't fancy those branches higher up. They're too thin.
Clooney climbed across and sat next to Scrag. He spoke in a whisper.
Good thinking, Weasel. Yes, this branch will do fine. Stick by me, Scrag. You are a useful soldier. With some of the blockheads I've got around me, I could be on the lookout for a new captain soon. You know what that means. Extra loot, a bigger share of the plunder. Clooney always rewards initiative, Scrag. Play your cards right and you'll soon get promotion.
Thanks, Chief. Don't worry, I won't let you down.
On a lower branch, Cheese Thief, who had been eavesdropping on the conversation, sneered inwardly. Yes, Chief, no, Chief, three bags full, Chief. Who did that snotty weasel think he was? And as for Clooney promoting a weasel to captain over rats of his own kind, well, Red Tooth and Dark Claw and the others might have something to say about that. Upstart weasel, he'd only joined up a day or two ago. If he got half the chance, Cheese Thief would fix Scrag all right. Abbot Mortimer looked thankfully up at the sky. Evening had come. They had lasted out well. The rats had not breached the wall in any way. Most of the main fighting had gone into a lull. Clooney's horde was only making spasmodic sallies from the ditch now. Taking advantage of the interval, the defenders hauled up more rocks and rubble to the ramparts. Cornflower and a band of helpers were on top of the walls. Keeping their heads low, they moved from post to post, serving each creature with a bowl of stew, some wild grapes, and a small loaf of honeyed nut bread.
What a calm, efficient young mouse Cornflower is,
the abbot remarked to Constance. The badger passed a bundle of arrows to Ambrose Spike for distribution as she replied,
"Aye, that she is, Father Abbot. But she looks worried. Matthias, do you think?"
"Doubtless. That young mouse is on my mind as well as hers and yours."
Constance shook her large striped head.
"It's not like Matthias to go off like that. I've searched everywhere in my spare moments, but he's not in the abbey."
"Well, wherever he is, I'm certain that he is helping our cause. So we'll just have to await his return and trust to Matthias's judgment and good sense."